Amen. Amen. Happy Lord's Day to you all. We do not have a primary text this morning, but we have a list of texts that we will be going through, a sort of a survey of a particular theme in Scripture. But just to remind you of what we talked about last week, last Sunday, we learned last Sunday that the conspiracy is in fact real. The Bible tells us very plainly, Psalm chapter 2, for example, that the devil, ever since the fall, ever since his initial rebellion in the Garden of Eden, the devil has been conspiring against the reign of King Jesus. Say amen if you remember that from last week. Amen. Amen. All right, we're on the same page. And it's not just the devil, but it's also his demons, and it's all those who serve the devil and are of the kingdom of darkness. And so, though the conspiracy is real and it manifests itself in various ways in nations and in churches and in families, etc., though it is real and we should not deny it, we don't need to be afraid. Amen? We don't need to be obsessed. We don't need to chase rabbits down every little hole because though everybody does want to rule the world, King Jesus actually does rule the world. And the destiny of your life and of your family and of your church and of your town and of your nation, the destiny of the world is in the hands of King Jesus and not the ruling elite, not the establishment, not anyone but King Jesus. Amen? Amen. And he, the Bible tells us, sits in the heavens and looks at all their maneuvering and their manipulations and their conspiring and their secret meetings. He looks at them and he gets a chuckle out of it. He laughs. There they go again with their silly little plans and their silly little plots. He laughs at them and he throws them in derision. And he defeats them. He defeats them. He scatters them. That's one thing that King Jesus does, as he did at the Tower of Babel. Amen. They came together. They decided they would build a great tower up into the heavens in order to make their name great and to defy the law that King Jesus had established, and that is that they were spread out over the earth and to subdue the earth in the name of King Jesus. Instead, they wanted to gather and build a name for themselves. And so what does he do to their conspiracy? He breaks them up. He scatters them. They wake up one morning and they can't understand each other in their secret meeting. Right? He scatters them. He doesn't just scatter his enemies. He turns their bad intentions for good. Right? The sons of Jacob conspired against their brother Joseph, right? They had their little secret meeting. They had their plot mapped out, and they sold him into slavery. God turned what was meant for evil into good, causing Joseph to be given the prime minister rank in the empire of Egypt, and using Joseph to save the very conspirators themselves. God turns their plots upside down and inside out. He beguiles them. Eglon the tyrant believed he sat high on his throne, that he was untouchable, and God sent a left-handed assassin. Haman, as you can see in our little picture there, Haman built a gallows for Mordecai. God turns it around on Haman, and Haman is the one hanged on his own gallows. The Bible tells us that those who dig a pit for the people of God end up falling in the pit themselves. The villain will eventually slip on a banana peel. Amen? And so how do we respond to this? Well, knowing that God uses even the worst conspiracy that has ever taken place in the history of this world, Satan and Pilate and Caiaphas and Annas and the crucifixion of Jesus, that God flipped that upside down for the salvation of his people. Knowing this, what should we do? We should rest. We should not be afraid. We should not be obsessed. Right? We should not worry our hearts because King Jesus controls the destiny of our nation and of the world. And instead of worrying about the elite and the cabals and the coups and the cartel, just get right with Jesus. Amen? Trust and obey Jesus. That's what we need to focus on. Amen. That's sort of what we covered last week. And I bet you didn't realize just how much the Bible has to say about conspiracy. That's quite a bit to say. And just so you understand, even when Christians conspire and act like the devil, you know, we shouldn't act like the devil, amen? But we sometimes act like the devil. Like King David, when he conspired with Bathsheba and many of his household servants to murder Uriah and to steal his wife. What does God do to even to his own children who conspire and plot and scheme? He exposes them. Amen. And I don't know about you. I'd rather be exposed than taken out like Herod. That is, he died with worms in his gut, right? God defeats his enemies definitively, and he exposes even his own church when they try to act like the devil. Amen? But he always wins. He always wins. Amen? However, here's what I want to talk about this morning. Even though we know in our head that Jesus controls the destiny of our nation, you know, not anyone else, and even though we know that Jesus sovereignly rules and providentially rules over every area of life, over every little molecule and every event in human history, we know Jesus is in control. He's determining the destiny of everything. We know this. We know this around here. We still sometimes make the mistake. We sometimes slip into what I might call a conservative mistake, a typical conservative mistake, and that is we think perhaps what this country needs is for the people to save us. This is an election 2024 series, and so let me make this plain for you. The elite, the inner ring, whoever you think they might be, Davos or DC, does not run this country. Jesus does. Amen? But the people don't run this country either, okay? The voice of the people, the majority vote, do not run this country either. Amen? And they are not the solution to this country's problems. See, this is a mistake that is very common among conservative Christians. We think that if only the people could be given access to uncensored information, then the people would do the right thing and save our country. Do you really believe that, though? If only the people's voice could be heard and we could have a fair and unrigged election, then the people would rise up in a great red wave and overcome this progressive conspiracy that is haunting us. The people, what we need is the people to be able to speak freely, free speech, and get back to the Constitution. What we need is for the people to rise up and have their voice be heard. We, the people of this here United States, must once again overthrow tyranny. But Christchurch, listen, that is the same mistake that progressives are making. Everybody wants to rule the world, the elite, the people, but Jesus actually rules the world. Amen? Jesus is the one that determines the destiny of nations, not the elite and not the people, not the people. Now, I do, of course, believe in free speech. That is a biblical freedom. That is an inalienable right, as you say. People are created in the image of God. We have the freedom of conscience. There should be freedom of speech in a country. The reason we have freedom of speech is because there is a residual of Christianity in our nation. But even if the people are given the freedom to speak, that is not going to save us. The people are not going to save us. In fact, the people are a part of the problem. The people are a part of the problem. Amen? And it's not the first time. 2 Samuel chapter 15, 10. I'm going to go through a few passages, and I want to show you that this is a perennial problem, that nations, in rejecting Jesus, oftentimes turn to ruling establishment or ruling elite, and they also turn to the people. It's the voice of the people that needs to be heard. The people will drain the swamp. The people will, you know, get the bad guys out of office. The people will rise up and have their voice be heard and save everyone. No, it's nonsense. It's nonsense. That is not what determines the destiny of a nation. 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse 10. But Absalom sent secret messengers throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, as soon as you hear the sound of the trumpet, then say Absalom is king. You see, King David was the rightful king. He was the one chosen by God. He was the anointed one. Amen? Are y'all following me? But Absalom conspired in his secret meetings to blow the trumpet at an assigned date, and to overthrow the country, a revolution, a coup. And this happens, and it's happened all over the history of the world. And here is Absalom conspiring against the Lord's anointed, the true rightful king. Let's continue reading what happens. Verse 11, with Absalom went 200 men from Jerusalem who were invited guests. This is his administration, his bureaucracy. And they went in their innocence. And they knew nothing. They were ignorant of the plot. ignorant of the conspiracy and the intent to rebel against the Lord's anointed. And while Absalom was offering the sacrifices, tyrants always like to pretend that they're religious, right? While he's offering the sacrifices, he sent for Ahithophel the Gilonite, David's counselor, from his city of Gilo. And the, what's that word? And the conspiracy grew strong. And the, say that word with me, and the people with Absalom kept increasing. You see, the problem is not some small minority of powerful people alone. They are a problem, but God laughs at them. The problem is the people too. The people are not the solution. The people are the problem. The people are the problem. They're in on the conspiracy. They're all on the take. They're all on the take. That's not the first time this happened in Israel. 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 7. And the Lord said to Samuel, obey the voice of the people. Have a fair, unrigged election. Give them freedom of speech. Give them the man that they want. Let the voice of the people be heard. Obey the voice of the people in all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you. They have rejected me from being king over them. 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 18. And in that day you will cry out because of your king, whom you have chosen for yourselves. But the Lord will not answer you in that day. But the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, no, but there shall be a king over us, a king like all the other nations. And honestly, the greatest conspiracy that ever took place on the face of the planet, the conspiracy to crucify King Jesus, was not just done by an inner ring of powerful and wealthy people. It was done by the people, in the name of the people, according to the free election of the people. Luke chapter 23, verse 13, Pilate then called together the chief priests and the rulers and, you see it? And the people, and the people. And said to them, you brought me this man as one who was misleading the people. And after examining him before you, behold, I did not find this man guilty of any of your charges against him. Neither did Herod, for he sent him back to us. Look, nothing deserving death has been done by Jesus. I will therefore punish him and release him. But they all cried out together, away with this man. You see, the conspiracy is real, and we are all in on it. We are all in on it. We are all, if not directly culpable, we are all corporately culpable. We the people. We are the problem. Are y'all with me? Can y'all handle this? Roe v. Wade was overturned. Amen. Wasn't that exciting? There have been more abortions after the overturning of Roe v. Wade than before. More abortions. That's what the people want. That's what they want. Right? Certain states have enshrined the right to abortion in their legal code now. It's what the people want. Recently in the city of Opelousas, the police chief was caught in an adulterous affair, and he was caught because his mistress shot him and his wife. They're both alive, but this was a public scandal, and we at Christ Church decided to speak into this situation in our area. That's one thing that churches are supposed to do, and we called the police chief to heed God's law and to repent for his sins and to cling to the blood of Christ that he might be forgiven, but we also called for him to resign because he was not qualified for the position, because the Bible gives the qualifications for civil officers in Exodus chapter 18 and various other places, and he didn't meet the qualifications. So we asked him to resign. And what did the people of Opelousas do? To a large extent, they said, no, no, the church should mind their business. We're with our man. We stand with our man. You see, we get the rulers and the leaders that we want and that we deserve. We're a part of the problem. We talked about last week how the establishment of the federal income tax and the IRS. The IRS is a plague on our nation. Amen? It was established according to the will of the people. They didn't go against it. They didn't fight against it because they wanted to soak the rich, and they thought they'd get the good end of that deal. They wanted their neighbor's property, just like Ahab and Jezebel. We all wanted our neighbor's property, and we thought perhaps at the point of a gun we could get it. Soak the rich. And what ended up happening? The middle class was soaked. The poor were soaked. The rich have lawyers that get around those sorts of things. We got bamboozled. But it was because of our envy and because of our desire for other people's stuff. Larceny was in the heart of the federal government. But larceny is in the hearts of the people. So the people are part of the problem. I just think right now everyone's talking about inflation. We all hate inflation, right? But we're all in on it, guys. We're all in on it. If you know anything about money, you know that if you borrow $100 and then after having borrowed that $100, the currency is inflated so that you're paying back less than the value of $100. That was a pretty good deal on your end. But it's fiat currency. It's unjust weights and measures. See, that's what's happening. The currency is inflated so that when you pay back your debt, you don't have to pay what you actually owe. And that's why everybody is a little bit okay with it. We all know that we're paying off our mortgages at way less the value than what we bought them for and agreed to. How can we escape? We are corporately culpable. The people are the problem, and the people are corporately culpable. We could go through 1,000 examples of why. It's not just them, it's us. It's us too. Amen? We have to open up our eyes to this. We have to repent. We have to change the way we live. We have to change our perspective. Because I promise you guys, the people are not going to save this nation. The people do not determine the destiny of this nation. Only King Jesus does. And he sovereignly administrates the history of this world according to his will and his pleasure and his law. Not according to the voice of the people or the machinations of the ruling establishment. So if that's the problem, and we are up a creek for sure in our nation, for sure. If that's the problem, then what is the solution? Look at Psalm chapter 1. I don't want to be all negative this morning. I want to show you a way forward here. Listen to this. Blessed. Do you want to be blessed, Christ Church? I want to be blessed. You can see that the blessings of our nation they're running out, and they're running out at an increasing rate. But if you want to be blessed as a man, as a family, as a nation, this is your path. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. Verse 2, but his delight, or our delight, our nation's delight, is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. You want to know the solution? It's to get right with Jesus. To heed his law. You say, well, how can we possibly do that? Because he offers us his blood that we might confess. Our rulers might come together and instead of conspiring against King Jesus, confess our sins before King Jesus, pleading the blood of Christ that we might be forgiven. And then engaging in repentance and confession and a corporate attempt at learning his law and obeying his law that we might be blessed by the one who rules the world and the one who actually determines the destiny of a people. Yes. Let's go on to the next verse. What is it like to be blessed by Jesus when you trust him and obey him and heed his law and his reign over the world? Well, you become like a tree planted by streams of water, planted, rooted by streams of water that yields its fruit in season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that that people or that person does, he prospers. Want to make America great again? Psalm 1. You want to experience hope and change? Psalm 1. Right? There is no other way. There was no other way. There was no other solution. There's no other messianic alternative. This is the only way forward for our people and for our nation. Amen? There are two paths laid out before us by the word of God in Psalm 1 and many other passages, and that is trust and obey King Jesus and be planted and be prosperous. And be established or to be scattered. Let's read the next verse. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. It's one or the other. Those are the two paths for every person and for every nation. Those are the two paths, to be rooted in prosperity under King Jesus' reign or to be scattered to the wind and lost to the times and the sands of history. Those are our only alternatives. Look, Christchurch, the national decline that we are all experiencing, right? I think unless your head is in the sand, you can tell that the United States of America is circling the drain. It's not because of some inner ring or some cabal. That's not the reason. And it's not because the will of the people is being thwarted. The people are the problem. And it's not just a natural phenomena. This is something you might be thinking, that nations just come and they just go naturally. No. You shoot a cannonball in the air and it flies up in the air and then it just naturally falls down. No. This isn't just natural. This is Jesus doing this. Jesus is administrating his sovereign rule over this earth. He is the one responsible for our decline. The locusts are devouring, but Jesus is Lord of the locusts. And so the solution is not to free the markets, although I'm fine with that. I'm happy about that. The solution is not to stop the invasion at the southern border, although I'm good with that too. The solution is not to invade other nations. There's no policy or procedure that is going to extend the decline of the United States. The only thing that will reverse the decline is if the nation repents and turns back to Jesus Christ. That has to be our hope. The Messiah is our Messiah. Amen? And no other Messiah. The decline is not because of powers, domestic or foreign. The decline is being administered by Jesus from his throne in heaven. And that's who our nation has to get right with. But what about us here at Christ Church? We're almost done. Short sermon today, I think. It feels like it. What about us here at Christ Church? Well, it's not complicated. I don't know what the future holds for our nation. I don't know if our nation is going to repent. Nations have repented before. Nineveh repented under the preaching of Jonah. Amen, there's hope. Israel repented after they crossed into the promised land under the leadership of Joshua. Nations have repented. Nations have enjoyed national revival. That could happen. I hope that happens. But if it doesn't happen, we can have our own little revival here. Amen. We can be rooted and planted like a tree beside running waters. We can be fruitful and we can experience, I believe, a fruitfulness as like an island amidst the wrath. If we turn to Jesus and we trust him and we obey him and we don't put our hopes in man, do not trust in man, the Bible says. Whether that be an individual man or collective man, we do not trust in man, we trust in King Jesus who determines our destiny. Amen. And we stay right with him. And we pray the prayer of Habakkuk, in wrath, remember mercy, that we might experience a little taste of heaven here during our short lives. And perhaps one day in the future when our nation decides they would turn back to Christ, perhaps Christ Church will be a light in that darkness, showing others the way of how to do it and how to meditate on his law and how to live and how to establish a society. Amen.